You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Nintendo's first official episode, because the last one was all pilot. The first official episode, and it's live stream, so you can see us. I don't know if you can see me, I don't know what we're watching. But yeah. I'm here with the whole crew for this time, actually. Well, without Eli, but we don't count him.
Yeah.
Nice. So
we have Alex.
Yo, my webcam is broken, but I'm here in voice.
We got Ben Stitzer.
Hey!
We got Jay Money. We got Justin Sharp and Kevin Klein, a.k.a. Easy Mac.
Thank you for that. I don't know how I feel about that, but all right.
Anyway, seeing this would be our last episode before the Wii U launch, we're going to talk a little bit about the Wii U and what is our expectations for the launch. Like, what systems do you guys have pre-ordered, first of all?
Deluxe.
Deluxe version?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You have the deluxe version.
Yeah, deluxe.
I'm so happy stuck. Everyone got pre-orders. I'm going to be there all night long waiting for my Wii U.
Nice. Good.
I got stuck with the basic edition. Right. I was lazy, and I waited a couple of days after they announced it. I won't sell it that fast.
Well, I could have gotten a basic pre-order, but I don't want basic.
Yeah. I just got my pre-order last week, Alex, and they still had some deluxes at Target.
So, okay.
So I don't know. You know, they were selling out pretty quick, but...
Go to Target now.
Go.
Yeah, what's like with that? You got to wait till 9 o'clock, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not doing the midnight launch, yeah.
So you're now 9 hours behind everyone. Cool.
Yeah.
So I was a strange... thing with, because I called pretty much every single Target in the Orlando area, and some of them claimed that, like, they were like, oh, we don't have any right now, but they claimed that they might get more pre-orders, like, in this coming week. So I was confused by that. I don't know how it's possible, but that's what they were telling me.
Yeah, I'm getting, because I used to work at Best Buy. And so I still have connections in the gaming. And at first, he told me that they may be expecting more pre-orders like the week of, because they don't know. Because Nintendo's like, okay, you guys only get five or six pre-orders because we don't know how much we're going to ship out. Mm-hmm. So they're saying they may get more than what is pre-ordered. Because Nintendo would be like, okay, well, you only got six pre-orders. We'll actually send you 10 consoles. Right. But then now he's saying that he doesn't think he's going to get any more than what the pre-orders are.
Oh, whoa.
That's what he's hearing. So I don't know. So I'm hearing that they may get more than the pre-orders, but may not. So
I was talking to these guys at my local GameStop, and they said that they have no more consoles, no more pre-orders. Whoever pre-ordered the console, they're getting a console, but nobody else is.
Yeah. Normally how it works is like, hey, you'd be allocated a certain amount of pre-orders, even for games. Like, hey, 50 games of Zelda. When Zelda... Skyward Sword came out, we had like 50 copies. But they sent us maybe 50 pre-orders, but they sent us maybe 70 copies. They only gave us 50, and so that's what we thought was going to happen with the Wii U, but now he's saying he doesn't think that will happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer for me.
Yeah. Sounds like it'd be really limited.
Did anybody actually wait in line for like the Wii and they didn't have a pre-order?
Yeah. We did. Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally did.
You did what?
I said, I totally did that too. It was a blast. I went to Walmart. They had 22 systems, and I was number 21 in line.
Oh, wow. Well,
that was close.
Walmart.
Like, I had people. I had people like trying to buy off my spot. I was like, no, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets crazy. I remember we were the first ones in line at Target, but we went to Walmart.
To go on to Walmart.
Yeah, we went to Walmart, and they did this crazy thing where at midnight they announced where they were going to sell the Wii.
It was 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Or 8 o'clock?
It was, yeah, like 8 or 8:30 or something, yeah.
Yeah, so you could line up or whatever.
And get your ticket.
Yeah, well, it ended up being like the automotive section or something of Walmart, so there was this mad rush, you know, everybody over there, and it was just really dumb. I was like, I don't know why they do stuff like this, but it seems like it should be first come, first serve.
Then we went to Target and camped out all night in like 30-degree weather.
Yeah, and then Santa Claus woke us up on his street sweeper.
It scared the mess out of me. Oh, I wake up and Santa Claus has one of those blowers. He's standing over me. I'm like, holy crap, Santa Claus.
Yeah. This was like 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Like, we just fell asleep like maybe 2:30 or something.
Oh, man.
Kevin, you were there with me at the GameCube launch.
Yeah, I remember that Walmart. Oh, yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's going to be almost 11 years now.
Ooh. Yeah.
But yeah, we waited for the GameCube at Walmart, and we were some of the first ones. We were like the first three people.
Yeah, remember those people that tried to cut? And
oh, yeah.
It's like, whoa, who do you think you are?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, Justin, we waited in freezing cold weather for... Yeah. Advance Wars at the Nintendo store in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can remember we were waiting in line, like the first 20 people got a free copy or 25 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And we were bundled up, you know, like I was wearing like two pairs of socks, but it was still just so cold. Like
we would take turns walking to the McDonald's to use their hand dryers to just put our shoes in the hand dryers to warm them. And then put them back on and then switch places all night long.
Yeah. That's dedication right there.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. And the Nintendo reps started showing up like 9 in the morning or something like that. And they wouldn't open until like 11 a.m. or something.
It was awful.
And so we had already been waiting like 9 or 10 hours. And it was so cold.
They were probably in there just like, you know, pointing and laughing. Like, look at those guys freezing.
Hey, but we got our free copy. And so, and it was my first time being in the Nintendo store.
Yeah.
So I was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
I still have to do that.
Yeah. It was pretty cool just to be there for a launch, you know. So
that's on my bucket list is to go to Nintendo World for a launch.
Nice,
yeah.
We'll go there for the new Mario.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Done.
It's weird how launches have changed. You think about just back the Wii, how crazy it was. But everyone's doing pre-orders like Best Buy. Kevin and I have ours pre-ordered at Best Buy. All we have to do is just go at midnight, don't have to wait in lines, pick it up and leave because we have our copy. And Walmart's doing the same thing. It seems like most of them are doing just the pre-orders. There's no... I guess for Targets, you can go wait in line. But Justin, you have your pre-order.
No, Target.
Yeah.
So all of them, there's no this wait in line anymore. It's just kind of your pre-order, then you go whenever you want to pick it up.
Yeah, which I think is really cool. I'm glad they're doing that. So I'm guessing I'll just, you know, show up there at 9 in the morning or whenever the store opens and be able to get it. So.
I would recommend anyone that has a Target pre-order to get the red card that they have. Because you don't even have to do the credit card. You just do a card that links to your bank account and 5% off right there.
That's cool.
Done.
Yeah, and that'd be huge, especially if you're buying all the games.
Yeah, it adds up, you know.
Yeah, because 5% of, you know, $500.
Yeah, mine's going to be like $600 or $700. So
or 700. Yeah. That's going to be... It'd be a nice chunk of change. So.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be hard to find games and accessories?
Yeah.
That may be the only reason you want to get there early and get in line because you want to be one of the first ones.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. Like for the Wii U launch, even though, you know, the store is going to open at 9, it may get there a little early just, you know, with my pre-order card so we can get the games. Because, you know, who knows, maybe they'll sell the games to just anyone, you know, that morning. So at the very least, someone, you know, waits in line, like, oh, at least I got the game first or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want a pro controller.
I remember they had plenty of stock when we got the Wii, though, James. Remember that? They had tons of games.
Yeah. So, well, do you remember when you bought it for your brother, Justin? Mm-hmm. You made a Best Buy?
Right.
They were sold out a lot of accessories and games that time. Remember, because they were actually handing out papers, depending on what accessory or games you want.
Right, yeah, because nunchucks were really scarce, and yeah, you couldn't find Wii remotes anywhere. So, yeah, which is going to be kind of nice with the Wii U is we don't have to worry about nunchucks and Wii remotes. You know, if we already have them, or you know, they're just so prevalent out there, you can find them pretty much anywhere. And then you don't have to buy the Wii U controller separately. That's just included in the system. Yeah,
so
the only accessory is the Pro Controller. And then you got games and all that. But
now, is Nintendo missing out on not releasing a second gamepad in the United States? Because I would buy it. Why the heck not?
I would buy a second one just to have it. But I think that they're not doing any harm because there aren't any games that actually use it yet.
Utilize it, so.
Yeah.
I can't wait until there are, though.
Yeah. So that'll be – you could do some really cool stuff. I'm sure it's going to be more simplistic games because then you're going to be doing, you know, potentially three separate screens with completely independent, you know, gameplay on each. So, you know, you may have simpler games or hot seat type multiplayer where someone on one – you know, gamepad is controlling something and then it switches over to this person, or, you know, maybe a game where you don't want people to see your cards or, you know, whatever you're playing. But it'd be interesting to see how they do it.
Definitely.
Because it seemed like at the developer roundtable at E3, they were kind of alluding to the fact that we'll just have to do some clever programming with it. You know, the development will have to just be catered to. You know, the gameplay will have to be suited to that type of a scenario in order to make the frame rate, you know, work on those screens. But
it kind of reminds me of the games that they were experimenting with on the GameCube with the Game Boy Advance Link cables.
Yeah.
Like you had Four Swords Adventures and Pac-Man Versus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played Pac-Man Versus, but that was a lot of fun. So I'd like to see them kind of bring that idea back if they do the multiple gamepads, because that'd be perfect for it.
Well, and I think I was reading something where Iwata was talking about Zelda Four Swords or something like that recently, like the last couple days.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be a perfect time for it to come back, for them to revisit it. So, anyways.
So I think you may have covered this before too, but is there anything that you guys are like looking forward to, or maybe something that they haven't thought of that you might think would work well with the Wii U, or
are you just talking about anything, or like pertaining to hardware?
Like, are there certain particular game franchises or something that haven't really been announced for the Wii U that maybe? Oh, that would be awesome.
All of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's huge potential for. I mean, Star Fox, Metroid, you know, Zelda.
Absolutely.
I mean, all those big games, you could do, I don't know, some really cool stuff with it. Even if Zelda was just using Motion Plus still, and, you know, I don't know, somehow use the gamepad for inventory management. Of course, I don't know how that would all work together, but I always thought the Professor Layton games would be really cool on the Wii U. Because, you know, in the Professor Layton games, you go into these towns and you walk through down these alleys and, you know, go through the adventure and you solve puzzles as you go. But when you come into, like, an open area, you can, like, pan around and search for, like, hint coins, which you can use to unlock hints for the puzzles. Anyways, but you could actually use, like, the Wii U gamepad, look around, you could zoom in. You could do the puzzles with the stylus on the touchscreen. I think, you know, not just Professor Layton, but, I mean, pretty much every DS game could work super well on the Wii U because you have that dual screen experience and the bottom screen is your touch screen. So, I don't know. Is there any favorite DS games you guys have that would work well on the...
For me, I kind of enjoy the whole Brain Age franchise. I mean, it's it would be perfect. I mean,
yeah.
You could be writing your numbers or whatever kind of puzzles they're throwing at you on the gamepad. It would, and that would actually be one that would be great if you had two gamepads.
Yeah, definitely. You can even do like quiz. Yeah.
I like to see what they could do with Animal Crossing, because I imagine you could just design your whole house on the touchscreen by dragging your furniture how you'd like it in the house, more freedom with that, and to have the connectivity with the DS game that's going to be coming out soon.
That would be pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think there's tons of DS games I think you could do really well with it.
I think a correction I want to see that we go with RTS games.
Oh, yes.
Because I remember back in the day playing SimCity on Super Nintendo. And it was absolutely horrible because it takes you like 5 minutes to scroll across your city and then you click the wrong thing. But with the gamepad, it's absolutely perfect for RTS, which never done well on consoles because it just sucks. Control and thumbsticks.
Yeah. I think that's huge, James.
City and awesome. Like the new, have you seen the trailer for the new SimCity?
Yeah, oh, it looks awesome.
Yeah, like just throw that on the Wii. That'd be fantastic.
But taking that a step further, I think would be cool. It's a StarCraft type game. I think I've said this before, but then your friends that you're playing with can be the individual soldiers, like a first person shooter. Yeah. So you're taking over the battlefield and doing all the strategies while your friends are just individual units. I think that would be amazing.
Kind of like Killer Freaks when they first showed it off.
You know, exactly, just on a larger scale.
Wow, that'd be crazy.
And that would be perfect because it'd be perfect for the whole five-player gameplay that the Wii U gives us, because you have one person kind of overseeing, you know, having a different experience, and then four people, you know, running and gunning in the game.
Right, right.
And that actually, you know, the Battalion Wars games kind of have that gameplay where you kind of manage your overall group and your infantrymen, and then
and
you take control of one of the guys. So maybe Battalion Wars will come back, and maybe that'd
be awesome.
If you wanted to showcase it, I don't know, but. Do you guys want any other franchises like Wave Race or
Endless
to come back?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Kevin brought up Endless Ocean last time.
Oh, I want Endless Ocean to be on there so bad.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Awesome.
Yes, please.
That would be really cool. That would be perfect with the controller.
Oh, absolutely.
And with the voice chat, so you can talk to each other.
Yeah, you can do video chat.
Video chat.
And then, I feel like the nice thing about having the gamepad is like all of your like necessary information can be on the gamepad, and then your screen can be clean just for those beautiful scenes of, you know, going through those caves or going, you know, seeing the dolphins, seeing the fish. It can be just clean, and I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we got a Twitter question.
Ooh.
And this is from. Bitter Sarahs, I need to know, is Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge good? Ooh. I love the first one, the second one not so much. Didn't play the third.
Yeah.
I played at E3.
Yeah, I could comment on that one. I actually played, that was I think maybe the first game I played on the show floor at E3, and I was really impressed with it. I've actually never played any of the, you know, the Ninja Gaiden games from maybe since the NES one, but I haven't played any of the ones that were on the Xbox or any other system. But the game controlled really well. I thought the gameplay was really fun. You know, I had heard some criticisms when, you know, Ninja Gaiden 3 first came out earlier this year. IGN gave it like a 2 or a 3 or something abysmal. And they said it was just a button smasher. It had no difficulty. You know, it wasn't fun to play. But... you know, I thought there was a lot of variety to the gameplay. It wasn't, you know, I had to mix up my moves. On the Wii U, you can actually switch between weapons on the fly using the touchscreen. So you can flip from katanas to, you know, different swords or claws or, you know, all these different things. And I think they said that some of those weapons are exclusive to the Wii U version. But anyways, the game looks incredible. It was a lot of fun to play. I'm really excited about it. But
they actually added another character to the game too.
Yeah, and I think it looks really interesting, and I think people will be really impressed with it. It seems like, you know, not just the run of the mill action game.
Because they've had time to polish it up since the 360 launched.
Oh, yeah.
When was that? Was a long time ago.
Well, it came out like early this year, like February or something.
Yeah. So they've had a couple months extra with it.
So, yeah, and it looked great at E3. Like, I didn't notice any, you know, sometimes at E3 you'll get games that have frame rate issues where they'll have to restart the system. But, you know, I played for a good 10, 15 minutes, and it was solid all the way through. So, anyways, I would recommend it.
All right, here's the next question from Twitter. This is from Tingle Ebooks. And he asked, will there be a Tingle game on the Wii U? And I don't know exactly how to answer that.
Okay, first of all, awesome, awesome screen name. I totally dig it. Well, I don't think there will be a Tingle game on the Wii. At least not for America. They actually, I don't know if you guys know this, but they've had a couple of Tingle games released in Japan and one in Europe. For the DS, Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land.
No way.
Yeah, it's an RPG starring Tingle, and I imported the European version. You can actually play it on the American DS. It's a lot of fun, but the developers have said there's not a lot of love for Tingle in the U.S., so unless that changes, we probably won't see any Tingle games on our side of the shore, which is a shame.
All my experience of Tingle, I hate him with, like, Wind Waker, especially Wind Waker. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like him just because everybody hates him. He's just the right blend of, like, creepy and funny.
I also think they could use him as, like, a mini game kind of game, like that Wario game. Like, it could be the Tingle version where with all kinds of mini games or something.
Or should he be in Smash Brothers?
Oh,
a totally. Playable character, not a trophy.
Nah, I don't know. That seems weird.
Maybe he should be the new sandbag.
There you go. Jeez, just beat him up.
Sorry, Tingle. Sorry, Tingle.
Tingle home run derby. I like it.
Yeah. I think that'd be cool just for any character, not just Tingle, but like it'd be cool to change Sandbag into anyone, like launch Ganondorf or launch.
Or import your own pictures.
Yeah.
And you should be able to doodle on it.
Yeah, or me characters.
Me characters.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to get back to that, but there's one more question we need to answer right now. But there's a point I want to get off of that. The next question, where did it go? We already answered it kind of on Twitter, but we can talk about it here. Is there a dimmer switch on the Wii U gamepad?
Well, there's not a dimmer switch, but
I don't think there's a dimmer switch.
I would imagine there may be in the settings. Maybe there's a brightness setting on the screen.
But what would you compare it to? Would you compare its brightness to like the 3DS?
I don't know.
I don't know, because every time I've played the Wii U, there's always been lights around, so I've never really seen it in a...
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty bright.
It is pretty. I'm trying to think.
I don't know why you'd want to dim the gamepad.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're playing in like pitch black, but I would imagine Nintendo would have some sort of a, like on the 3DS interface, the little sun icons.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there'd be something like that. Of course,
I'm sure there's going to be a way to.
Yeah, we can't say for sure because we,
Well, okay, I'm 98%.
Yeah. No. I was just saying, like in response to his question, we don't know for sure, but we think it, will be there.
As it wasn't a physical switch when we've dealt with it.
Yeah, it's not a physical switch,
but some setting, somewhere in settings, you would have that ability.
Yeah, it just has the volume. It has a volume slider on it and some other things on it, too.
And the second part of that question is, will there be a white deluxe set?
I don't think there...
Yeah.
They seem pretty distinct on having black for the deluxe and white for...
Yeah. I mean, if we look at the Wii... I mean, it took forever for them actually to release other colors for the Wii. So it seems like when they picked their colors, like That's what you get.
Yeah.
I don't know. Be a possibility down the road, but
yeah, I mean, we're talking far along. Probably not.
I think the real question is, why would you want a white deluxe? I mean, the black is so nice.
Yeah. I really like the black.
Yeah. The white is really nice, and, you know, if you wanted, you know, because I know the black one will probably be like a fingerprint magnet, but, you know, so I can see that as one reason why you'd want the white. It has the nice glossy pearly white on it, you know, but
it could be consistency for whatever the, you know, if you had the white one before, you might want to keep white, but
yeah. Because, like, I remember the white DS Lite was really nice. It kind of had this, you know, clear, it was like white underneath, and then it had this clear, you know, layer above it, and it just had a really nice look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the white controller has the same.
Mm-hmm. And if you're worried about storage, you can always use, like, external USB drives to up your capacity if that's what's holding you back from getting the white versus the deluxe.
I'm very excited that Nintendo decided to do that with the Wii U.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Storage is always an issue as far as limitations for a console, so the fact that they allow you to put an external hard drive onto it is really awesome.
And I like their reasoning behind it. Like, it makes total sense that that's, in the electronic world, that's the cheapest thing is storage, one of the cheapest things. And they didn't want to add that into their price, like, hey, the console is going to cost us $120.
Mm-hmm.
But that's without counting in the storage, because that's going to change in 2 or 3 months. So they want that on their price when they budgeted out the Wii U.
Yeah, well, what's also interesting is, you know, their casual white model is, why would you put a big hard drive for those consumers that aren't going to download stuff, that probably will only download small amount of stuff? Like, my grandparents have a Wii. They're never going to download anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to get a Wii U. So, and I don't think they'll ever download anything for the next 6 years, so why pay for that extra money?
Well, that's a good point.
Very true.
Yeah, exactly.
And it worked for the 360. They sold a lot of the, they used to call it the family pack, whatever, the 4-gig one.
Oh, the arcade?
The arcade. They sold a lot of that. Because it was cheaper, and a lot of casual gamers like, hey, we can just use this one. It can save us $100.
Yeah. And it is amazing what that $299 will do for that casual audience. Mm-hmm. Once they see that $2, it's like a whole other world than to that $350.
Yeah, $349, they just can't conceive $349. But a lot more believable.
But speaking of storage and data, well, I'm going to speak of data transfer. What do you guys think of the process of transferring your Wii data to the Wii U? Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
It's very typical. I mean, it's the exact same thing you have to do. When I got the 3DS XL, you know, you have to, you know, download some transfer app on the one 3DS, copy it over, you know, get the other stuff on the new one, the same transfer app on the new one. I'm hoping that, you know, having the Nintendo Network ID going forward will make that process easier. So, you know, let's say your Wii dies or something, I could just get a new one, log in with my Nintendo Network ID, whether it's my 3DS or Wii U, and get all those purchases back. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was, because I saw someone in some comments on some website talk about, why not use cloud storage or backup?
Right.
Yeah. There was a rumor a long time ago about Nintendo adopting some sort of cloud storage.
That'd be awesome.
That would be really cool, and especially for the Nintendo Network, you know, I don't know what you'd store up there, maybe save files. I know that's getting big, like on Origin, they have like that cloud backup solution, and I think Steam also does cloud saves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool because, you know, if your computer crashes or something, you're like, oh, I lost all my save games, and I have to reinstall the game anyway, so I'm not going to reinstall the game, you know. So, yeah, hopefully they'll implement something like that.
Yeah,
see, this is why we need to work at Nintendo.
Exactly.
Well, I remember when my Wii died, and they had to wipe it clean. It was a pain in the butt to get all of my WiiWare games back. Remember, okay, which ones? Like, I had to make a list and go into and download them. I only downloaded, like, 5, and I had, like, 20. So I'm like, screw it, I don't care. Because the only 5 I play.
Yeah.
Because it's just a pain in the butt to go in there and find them and re-download them and...
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Wii U interface and the stuff we've seen so far on it.
I think it feels great. It looks great. I mean, everyone's going out and trying the Rayman demo. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that level where you're the frog or whatever and you're moving everything around for the Rayman character, like, it's brilliant. It's awesome.
Yeah. Like did you guys saw the Nintendo Direct today? What did you think of, like, the Miiverse Plaza or Wara Wara?
I'm actually not going to watch it. I posted it up, but I didn't watch the videos because I want to keep something fresh and invigorating when I turn on the Wii.
Can we
talk about it. That's fine.
I watched the video, and the Wara Wara, or I guess it's going to be Miiverse for us, was really, I think, the only, like, new thing I saw out of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But I like what they're doing with the Miiverse Plaza.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's back.
Hey.
There's a blip. Hey, the broadcast is still going.
Cool.
Anyways. you were saying something about Miiverse, JMO?
Yeah, I like what they're doing with Miiverse. I think it'll be interesting to be able to share easier with, like, your friends while you're playing games and stuff like that.
Yeah. I actually really liked... and James, don't listen too carefully, but when they had the whole plaza and how it was zoom in, like, you know, it had the games kind of hovering over, and then you could actually, like, put the whole interface on the gamepad, and you could touch, like, a Mii character, and it would zoom all the way in. It had a cool, like, depth of field effect where you kind of had some blur in the background, and then it would show just that one Mii character, and it'd say, you know, what games they were playing. It may have some message from them. And it would say, you know, go to their profile or friend them or something like that. I thought that was really cool because I think it's just supposed to take, you know, not just your friends, but it could be like anyone who's playing Ninja Gaiden or Nintendo Land or something. And you can just select someone and be like, oh, yeah, I'll friend them or whatever. They said something about Nintendo Land.
Right.
Very cool.
I don't know. It looks pretty cool. Did you guys see the screenshot of... the other Wii U interface.
Yeah, it's very similar to, like, the 3DS and Wii, almost, like, kind of like a... The only thing I want, though, is for them to update that at some point. Not that I think it needs to change. I just... The one thing I like about 360 is they get a new update every so often just to change things a little bit.
Yeah. It's nice that, they keep, you know, pushing the UI, you know, keep updating it, and not just little things, you know...
Because I
really advance it.
Don't get me wrong. I love, like, the UI with the Wii, and I'm glad they're kind of carrying that over to the Wii U so they can kind of stay consistent. Yeah. But I really think they should develop that further and improve upon it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. And there's so many improvements they can do. I'm sure they'll have, like, folders and some of the stuff that they've done on the 3DS in this one. It seems like it's a hybrid of Wii channels and the 3DS little boxes, you know.
Right.
And I would love a customization of some kind, and I don't know what that could be, just to make it your own, so not every Wii U interface looks exactly the same.
Yeah, even if it was just, like, a simple background image. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Colors, kind of like the 3DS. You can change, like, some of the border colors and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. See, more customization. Yeah, that'd be really, really cool.
Real quick, going back to the Miiverse, the one thing they have got to change, and I'm hoping they'll announce it, is more Mii options as far as customizing the actual Miis from hairs to eyes. Like, that needs to be completely redone and robust in the options.
Yeah, because, like, for the Wii, it was, like, the same 6 pages of, you know, options the whole cycle. You know,
because it should take me 3 hours to create a Mii. It should be so many options.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, no. 3 hours.
Those are my eyebrows right there.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it definitely needs more options. I mean... even if, like, most of the options are, like, t-shirts or like they did with the 3DS, where you have, like, a Yoshi costume or a Bowser hat,
Well, what would also be amazing is you buy the new Galaxy or new Mario, you get a Mario shirt or like special pants or haircut or something.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, let's say if you beat like a Mario game, you get the Tanuki suit you can wear around or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Incentives to get these things.
Right.
And actually,
and hopefully that may happen, since the 3DS has kind of set a precedent with that, with the little RPG game. You know, you have a certain game like Mario Tennis, you get a, you know, a different hat than someone else. Or sorry, what were you saying, Alex?
I was gonna say, I actually really like the idea of, say, you beat a game or you reach in a certain achievement.
Really like the idea of, say, whoa.
Okay, I'll try that again. But that whole idea of beating a game or reaching a certain achievement to unlock like a certain costume for your me, that's a great way to show off like bragging rights of your game skills.
Yeah,
and I think that's something that's kind of missing in games nowadays.
Yeah, see, and that could be a kind of way to showcase an achievement, or, you know, have some sort of a trophy. Because like whenever I meet people on the 3DS and they have like, you know, the really cool helmet that you have to beat, you know, like the second or third playthrough of the
Find Me.
Yeah, the Find Me, you know. Like, you know that they really, you know, play that a ton. You know?
Right.
So it really sets them apart. So, yeah, stuff like that would be really cool.
I can never get past the first ghost on that. None of my friends have a light blue shirt, so I can't get past that shield. Wearing light blue shirts or something helps
me. Yeah, when you go to E3, because you have to.
Oh yeah, E3 will, you'll get a ton of street passes. Even at the Zelda concert, we got you know, maybe 100 or more.
Well, and when I went to the Wii U experience, I got a ton there, and that was just a small gathering of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and the 3DS is selling well, so, you know, hopefully we'll just get more and more as time goes on.
Now, more light blue shirts.
Now, speaking of achievements, mm-hmm. everybody else has done achievements, and I don't know, has Nintendo even said anything about achievements yet?
There was that thing, it was E3 they talked about. What is it called again? It's not achievements, it's,
Oh, what was that?
Accomplishments?
Yeah, maybe it was accomplishments, because they did that Mario thing, collected 100 coins or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's tied into the whole Miiverse kind of gloating type thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're almost kind of doing that with Black and White, too. They have like a whole new option now with the metal box, and you do certain things just like achievements, and you get a medal, and you can pin that to your trainer card and show it off when you do a trade or battle with people. So I think they're slowly starting to incorporate it.
Yeah, because I think gamers love that. They love being able to show off, because, you know, for a while, if you played 20 hours in a game, you know, no one really cared, or there was no way for you to actually prove that, you know what I mean, other than to show them, hey, look at my playtime, you know. But if you actually beat a game and you got some cool suit or, you know, something for your Mii, then it's like, hey, I actually did beat this game, you know.
Yeah, the only Wii game was Metroid Prime 3. You know, you can take a screenshot of
when
you finished, and you can send it to people through a crappy message.
Right. Yeah, you could do that with Galaxy, too, you know.
Oh, yeah, that is right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, more stuff like that would be really cool. Anyway.
And going off of that game demo, that reminds me, thinking of Metroid and that stupid Metroid channel that we were all excited about.
I still have that too.
We're like, this is the coolest thing ever. And it was like, what, two videos or three videos?
Yeah, it was a disappointment.
Yeah. Should there be demo? Does there need to be demos on the Wii U?
Absolutely. No question.
Oh, yes.
Definitely. Yes.
Every big game should have a demo.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's industry standard now. It's just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wish what they would do is, kind of go on top of that, do expansions or downloadable content for Nintendo Land. Like, next year, give us three more attractions.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, see, because they could continuously expand Nintendo Land, like, every year or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Smash Brothers, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's so much potential. Like, especially because it seems like Nintendo's finally coming into online, downloadable content, software updates. They're kind of coming into these concepts now, like, okay, we need to do this. So,
And with downloadable content, they've really been starting to pick up on that. And let me say, they've been doing it the right way, and they haven't been charging extra for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not like $20 for an hour of content or something like that.
And they did charge for the new Super Mario Brothers 2 levels, but even that was like very, very cheap.
Yeah, yeah. And Nintendo, you know, they offer a ton of value. You know, they see some of these, you know, cheap 99-cent games on app stores. They're like, you know, we pack so much into our games. You know, that's what we want to, you know, tell people is, hey, we put tons of value, tons of replayability in here.
Yeah, I think it was a while ago who said about a year ago that when they first started talking about DLC is that they're not going to come out with a half-finished game and finish it with DLC. They're going to come out with a finished game. Mm-hmm. Expand it like Mario Brothers. It was a finished, complete game. Yeah, able to throw more levels or experiences at you.
Yeah. Or the worst thing developers are doing now is they release the game and they hold back part of it just to release it on launch day, downloadable content.
I know.
So, mm-hmm. That's the worst thing you could do. That's just upcharging to the consumer.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. It just seems like this is kind of a trend right now. But have you noticed like all the stuff with 360 and PS3 games recently where games have been kind of broken, like where they basically have to have a patch to improve the frame rate. Like you buy a game out of the box and, you know, your frame rate's awful. Like I heard some people complaining about Assassin's Creed 3 recently. You know, it came out on 360, PS3 and all that, where they said the frame rate would drop to like 20 frames a second or less when they were fighting like four people or something.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, people are really frustrated. I think it was mostly PS3, which they've had a rough time of it with like Skyrim being having lots of issues and stuff. And, you know, that kind of stinks because, you know, when there's so much downloadable content, when developers rely on it, then it's like they're not testing it as well, you know, for when it even does launch. So I'm glad Nintendo is still committed to, let's make a quality game, release it, you know, when we want to, let's delay it if we need to, but, you know, not come out, you know, too soon and have to bug fix it or something.
Right. And they're doing really cool things, like with the Professor Layton game, how they're coming out with, like, new games every day, or new puzzles every day.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's it's just awesome.
Well, just think how big that could be for a Mario Kart game. Releasing new tracks or drivers, that could be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if they follow the trend, like, with the Mario Kart 7, where you get to customize your cart. Oh, yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even if they want to make a little bit of money off of it, just be like, go with the iPhone games, like, charge $1 for 3 more tracks. Like, for me, that would be worth it. I'll pay $1 just to get 3 more tracks in Mario Kart or 3 more stages in Brawl, or not Brawl, Smash Brothers.
Mario Kart Wii is one of the games we play the most at my house.
Yep. It's like, it's still a good game.
Yeah.
Well, should we wrap up here? Or?
Well, one thing I did want to bring up is that I've had a hard time finding a demo unit in my area, and just recently I was putting more money down on my Wii U pre-order at GameStop and looked over, and I was like, there it is. Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting forever.
Nice.
And where have you guys seen demo units?
Well, I just recently they put one in my local Best Buy.
That's where I saw was Best Buy.
Yeah, I went to the GameStop here in Tennessee.
Yeah. So, but I haven't had any. When I looked at the list, you know, Nintendo has that website you can search. It was just the Best Buy that came up. They didn't have any games.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, my stepson just told me yesterday that he played Assassin's Creed 3 at Target.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet actually saw it for myself, but I'm going to get out there and see it for myself because I absolutely want to see that on the Wii U.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
I can't wait to see that on the Wii U because, you know, at E3, they just had like some Ubisoft representatives, and they were just playing it for you. You could watch them. It wasn't a video. Like, he was actually, you know, moving through the level, but you could tell they didn't want people playing around in it.
They had a direct path they had to go, I'm sure.
Yeah. And they never veered from it.
No. They went to specific areas, so you could tell they were still in heavy, you know, bug fixing phase. So there were still some frame rate issues and stuff like that, but I'm really excited to see it on the Wii U. It looks amazing.
And it'll be my first Assassin's Creed game that I've ever played.
Yeah. I'm waiting. I don't want to wait. Yeah.
It'll be worth James, it. James is a big AC fan.
So. I should be playing it right now, this second.
No, you shouldn't, James. Don't talk like that.
Remember, we just talked about the frame rate issues. You're doing the right
thing. Yeah. It's good to wait.
Yeah, and now we can play with each other online.
That's
true.
Exactly.
That's true.
I'm excited about that. The multiplayer, that's going to be really cool. Oh, Kevin, what I was going to tell you, you talked about customizations and things like for Mario Kart and all that. Did you guys check out how you can customize coin layouts in Mario Brothers U?
That's such a cool idea.
Like, really?
Yeah, like you can actually, it's like borderline level editing, but you can actually like, you know, go through a level, and on the gamepad, you can take your stylus and draw out where you want coins to appear.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's not just small coins. You can put, like, where you want the star coins and everything. It looks really, like, it's a cool twist on, you know, the Wii version added, like, the coin battle where you try and get, you know, more coins than another person. Do you guys remember, did the coin battle on the Wii have teams?
Where yes,
you could... It did. So you could do like, okay. So you could do like 1v3 or 2v2 or whatever, and team up.
I believe you can't because they're red and blue.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I noticed that that's in this new one as well. So you can team up and play those levels.
Do we have that video up on the website?
Huh?
Do we have that video up on the website?
No, I actually bookmarked it today and I was going to post it, but.
Wait till this all down, Justin. That's why we don't know about it.
Here, let me post it here in the chat here. But seriously, it has like 10 minutes of gameplay. It's incredible.
Now, you may have just said this, but the coin thing you just talked about, can you send that to your friends, or is it just on your unit?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can send it or not.
Because that would be awesome to make the hardest levels and send to your friends. And then if that could record what the times they beat for that level, and you'd have like just a list of all your friends and their times for it, that could be huge.
Yeah, like I'm not sure if it's got sending, but at the very least you can create these levels, and I don't know. But.
Now you got me all excited. Good thing I pre-ordered it.
They need more, Nintendo needs better interaction between their games, like Animal Crossing. Like all you can really do is go to someone else's town and dig holes, which I did. I remember going to Justin's town and spelling out my initials in holes.
That was you.
Yeah. And see, what you do is you wait for them to go into a house, and then you dig holes all the way around the entrance, and then they're trapped.
It's awesome.
Nice. Because they can't fix the holes that you make, so they're trapped in the house. It's hilarious.
That is pretty funny. It looks like they're doing some cool stuff with the 3DS one. New gameplay elements, obviously being mayor of the town, but it seems like there's you can go swimming and you can do all this other stuff where you know, normally you couldn't interact with that part of the world. So
I'm really excited about that because that's always been one game that's really guilty of, oh man, I wish I could do this, you know. Yeah. So it and seems I think, like they're kind of taking that into account a little more.
Yeah, I think Animal Crossing, we were talking about franchises that would be good on the Wii U. That would be perfect for the Wii U. I mean, think about it. You could actually draw out your own designs like they're doing on the 3DS for putting on, you know, clothes and stuff like that. I mean, the whole online aspect, Miiverse, all the interactivity, sharing stuff. I mean, that would be really, really cool.
Actually, you know, it would be a really cool idea for that too, going along that idea. It would be really cool if when you upgrade like your house from Nook, you would actually be able to draw your own like house layouts, so that way everyone could have like their own like unique house, you know.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
So that needs to happen, please.
Yes. I'm asking nicely.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
One last discussion topic. I think Justin and I talked about this briefly. And I think we had a brilliant idea. Yeah, we did. We had, when we had a little meeting, that was just and I showed up last week.
That's right. Yeah.
but we talked about, we talked briefly about demos for the Wii U, but how about renting games? Like, Nintendo really wants to take gameplay to the next level. Why not offer where you can rent a game for 3 or 5 days for a couple bucks?
That's not actually
Gamefly. I think Gamefly doesn't do it like that.
OnLive did it that way.
OnLive, yeah, OnLive did it that way.
Where, so where you can do like a 3-day pass or a 5-day pass, that sort of thing.
Huh. Well, you can even download it to your system, but then like after 3 days, there's a code that just locks it up or it just disappears after 3 days.
See, I think Nintendo would be way too scared of hacks and things like that that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's well, possible. Think of it this way. That sounds awful similar to the PlayStation Plus accounts you can do, you know? Because they do something very similar. They'll offer, like, oh, these games are free for this month. You can download them. And then after the month, they're gone. And, you know, they'll offer you something else. So it can work.
Yeah. That'd be perfect for this person who just asked us about Ninja Gaiden, and you can download it for 2 or 3 days. They can play it and be like, okay, yeah, I want this game, and go out and buy it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that would, as long as they structure it to where the developers are satisfied with it, because it would suck if the developers, you know, didn't get a cut of that, and everybody's demoing their game, and it's like, oh, this is terrible, and doesn't buy it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so. They've got to structure it in a way to where...
Well, they're going to start with theirs, just Nintendo games. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
because you got to worry about first-person shooters that you can beat in 9 hours. You could rent it for $5 and be done with it that night, and then they're out that revenue.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's true.
So, yeah, then it becomes almost like a 30-minute demo like OnLive does or something. Yeah. Yeah, it could be interesting. I don't know.
But they could.
I think demos are great. I just don't see that as really being a thing of actually renting a game through it. Yeah.
Well, people go and pay $10 to rent a game when Blockbusters are around. Why not pay $10 and not have to go anywhere?
Yeah.
And rent a game.
Well, I'm not saying that people wouldn't do it. Yeah. I just don't think that Nintendo would want to do it, or developers would want to see that, just for that same reason. Is they're losing out on a lot of revenue to go directly to rentals.
Yeah. Well, they'd figure out a way to pass that revenue on to the developer, you know. So you get 500 people demoing your game, you know, you're still making that money, and then, you know, the people that buy it, you're making, you know, that much more. So it could definitely work. But
it's the same concept of renting a game. Like, there's a lot of games, like, especially Kevin and I, wouldn't we play together in high school, like Saturday nights? We just rent them for the weekend, and it's games we would never have played before. And we're going to be like, okay, we'll spend $7-10 on this game, try it out and see how it goes. Yeah. And then if we don't like it, we're not out $50 or $60. We're just out $7 or $10.
Right, yeah.
I could see them doing it with third parties if they wanted to offer that, but there had to be like some kind of revenue coming in for them just because of that fact. Like, oh, what if I beat the whole game, then I have no reason to buy it, even though I really liked it.
Right. Yeah, they'd really have to structure it well.
Yeah, it would be cool if they did took the model kind of The Walking Dead did and release a bunch of different episodes. So like maybe you could buy Battlefield 4 in total, or you could buy Episode 1 of Battlefield for like $10, and you get the first 3 hours for that much money, then you could decide to expand on it if you wanted to or liked it.
Right. Yeah.
But Alex, I think you're talking about the PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And they're doing this cool thing now. If you're a member, you get to play, download a game for free and play up to 2 hours, 1 or 2 hours. And then if you like the game, you download it and you start the game where you left off in the demo.
That would be neat.
And I think that's kind of a cool concept because you don't have to go back and replay it, but you also get that 2 hours of free gameplay just to see if you even like it.
Yeah.
Well, and then instead of a time limit, you could also set like a certain point in the game. Like you can play up to this point.
Yeah.
But then if you want to play further, you have to actually buy the game. That's sort of like almost kind of like a demo though. So.
Yeah. Ben, do you have Pure Nintendo's mascot?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Kitten McKinnon. Kitten Sir. Blah, blah. I can't even talk right now. It's too cute. I can't talk.
Yeah. So much cuteness. Careful.
Any more questions on the list, James?
Nope. That's it.
Nope.
We're just that good.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's it.
I posted on Facebook, too. Doesn't look like anything came through on Facebook right now.
Okay. Well, it's got 3 viewers on it, so I'm guessing this is streaming and people are watching on their stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of the last second. Like, hey, we're starting
right
now.
Right an hour ago.
Oh. But anyway, I guess we can call that a wrap. That was fun. Yeah. We'll do our next one be in 2 weeks from now. So it'd be we all have 3 or 4 days of Wii U.
Yes.
Three days.
And then we can gush about it.
Yeah.
We don't have questions, but I'll throw shout outs to I guess looks like Crystal Mills liked us on Facebook. She shared our link here.
Nice
podcast. So
thank you so much.
Nice.
Very cool.
Thank you. And Thomas is on there. He liked it, and then looks like Greg came in there and liked us as well. So hope you guys enjoyed this.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
Every little bit of exposure helps. So we really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that.
Yep.
Definitely. We have some great fans out there, and we just appreciate the support tremendously.
Yep. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Definitely.